What's shaking, YouTubeanites? Welcome to Lords of Lamox presents the comic book Shakers of the Week for 4/25/2024. Right in the middle of spring, and man, my allergies are kicking my butt. As usual, tomorrow's Friday, so that means today is Freestyle Friday. So let's kick a freestyle, you know what I mean? Boom. What's good, everybody? Welcome to Lords of the Long Box. This is the cover price comic book Shakers of the Week. Laura is at C2E2, crushing it, no doubt. But my man from Amsterdam is here to fill in for Gabe. Say what's good to the people.
Hey, everybody. What is up? Glad to be back here. Another fun list. So let's get to it.
Yeah. JB, say what's good to people.
You know, I want to say shout out to the people in the live. We know the draft is here. We know C2E2 is here. But we appreciate you hanging out with us right now. We're going to give you the best we got. The writers have given us a fantastic script for tonight. And for those of you watching on the rewind, you know what to do. Come on, make sure you're subscribed to the channel.
We done forgot Randall Park. We'll get him next time, though. We'll double up.
You don't have to have him every time.
Yeah. Laura missing threw me off, man. She's a traitor, I'm telling you right now. No, ends and butts about it.
Do you get a discount at Laura's table if for mentioning
go up to Bird City Comics, mention the Lords, and in any way you want, like, you know, Laura seen you on the Lords, or keep digging in them long boxes, or LOTLB, and they're going to give away some free stuff. I don't know. I just made that up. So we'll see what they do, man. I don't know what's going to happen, man.
Lauren is going to get bombarded by random people. We don't know what to do.
Hey, Tebow said you were going to give me 10 free comics.
Tebow said that you were giving away some stuff.
Yeah. No, that's not, yeah.
Tebow said we're all going to get free high fives and a buffet.
You can't hit a home run if you don't swing. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, closed mouths don't get fed.
The squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Oh, damn. All right. We're full of, what are those analogies? Those are, no, not metaphors. A metaphor? Yeah.
Check them off.
Similes. Whatever. This show is brought to our friends from CoverPrice.com for your price guides, selections, and trends. And this here, Shakers List, we do every Thursday at 6 p.m. and a Tuesday for the top 10 list that we do at same time, 6 p.m. Pacific. If you're new, you know what the difference is. Basically, the top 10 is trending books that are relatively new, right? And probably... So in growth of percentage, units moved, everything else were the shakers. That's just crazy. That's just like, you know, oddball comics that are, you know, somebody bought or something super crazy high. Speaking of Laura, use discount code LOT.
they were talking about being super high.
You went from crazy high to speaking of Laura. I don't know about that.
use discount code of LOTLB discount to get 15% off. Hey, I wonder if. Okay, if not free comics, maybe you go to the Bird City Comics booth at booth 1316.
You're going to get us in all kind of trouble, man.
And just say, hey, man, I want to use discount code for 15% off. You know, 15% off isn't that bad.
You
know?
Here's what you do. You go up to their table and ask them to know where the bathroom is.
Yeah. All right, boys and girls. This is Shakers List. This comes from our friends at CoverPrice, focusing on new sales and most interesting sales. Found on the exclusive daily Shakers List. This is changes every time of the day, so make sure you check it out every day to review some of the hottest trending books on the market. It's always an interesting perusal when you go and see what's shaking. It's always some really cool stuff, man. All right, what do we have for our first shaker? These are in alphabetical order, so they're not by price.
Not by price, alphabetical order, and we will kick off today's list with The Astonishing Ant-Man, issue number 10, the Jenny Frison cover, originally published in 2016. Now, The Astonishing Ant-Man, issue number 10, featuring a gripping cover by Jenny Frison, recently made waves in the comic book market with a new all-time high sale. A raw, near-mint copy fetched $109, showcasing the growing demand for this issue. Now, that's not the highest recorded sale ever, but that's the highest for a near mint raw copy. The highest recorded sale still stands at $270 for a CGC 9.8 way back in 2021. Now, this issue marks the epic conclusion of a small time criminal storyline pitting Ant-Man against Darren Cross and the Power Broker in a thrilling showdown. Readers also finally learn how Scott Lang landed in prison, adding depth to the character's backstory. Now, Frison's variant cover captures the death of ex-Psylocke. Frison's skillful portrayal of the character and the intensity of the scene undoubtedly contributed to this issue's appeal among collectors. As the demand for key moments in comic book history continues to rise, this issue's milestone sale reflects its significance among the collectors and fans alike.
I mean, sure, it's a cool cover, but I don't get it. You know, just no first appearances. I mean, you know, it's not Jenny Frison's first. Yeah, really? I guess so. Really? You know, yeah.
It's probably just a hard cover to find. I don't know if any retailers are really ordering a lot of
Astonishing Ant-Man. Yeah. Yeah, it would throw Psylocke in there. That'll change a lot of things. You know what I mean? Right. All right, Astonishing Next Ant-Man, number 10, Jenny Frison from July 20th of 2016 for $109. All right, this is definitely an offer.
Whoa.
Yeah. Here's one that we haven't seen ever. The Cimarron, the Man-Eaters of Zamboula, number one, Weird Tales, Virgin, 1 in 40. This came out 2021 from Ablaze Comics. Ablaze set out to do the fans' work with this series, adapting an original story from Conan creator Robert E. Howard. And that's a tall task. Howard is often considered the father of modern sword and sorcery tales, but he had a certain grit about his stories. Horrifically violent, oozing with testosterone, and overtly sexual, it's not something most people expect to see on the shelves of their local comic book shop. But Ablaze didn't hide from the task and instead delivered a series true to Howard's version. This variant plays homage to where the story originally appeared in Weird Tales back in 1935. It oozes the original style and major fans of Conan the Barbarian are willing to pay a premium for something that captures the work of Howard. Recently, a CGC 9.6 did hit the market and sold for a high of $275, the highest sell in our database. Not bad considering near mint raw copies routinely go for about $15 with very few sales to work with. It's simply a rare variant that calls back to an era that's making a comeback. Being a 1 in 40, most LCSs would strongly hesitate to acquire enough books to obtain this copy. And the few who did likely took a loss to get it. But there still is a major Conan fandom out there, and books like this hit them right in the feels.
Yeah, I mean, Lawrence Brooklyn is saying, you're saying, I don't even know, it's Sumerian, right?
Yeah, Sumerian, right?
Yeah, Sumerian, that's what I thought.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I don't know what the
said.
Lord of the Brooklyn is talking
about. It must be my accent.
Lords of Brooklyn.
But this is if you believe it or not, this is a famous homage, I do believe. The original, she's in a clamshell. Do you know what I'm talking about now?
Oh, what, the Venus?
Yeah. Statue? It's in a clamshell, yeah. I mean, that's what I'm going to think. Because otherwise, I mean, the art is meh, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's meh. I meant, you know, it's kind of interesting how they cover up her privates there with their hair. But, all right, you ready for another offer?
Yeah, this one's an offer. Might be an offer. But you know what? It's got a fantastic story. Again, shout out to the writers at Cover Price. At number three, we've got Diablo Tales of Sanctuary, the Francisco Ruiz Velasco cover, originally published in 2001 from Dark Horse. Now, Diablo is an action role-playing game series developed by Blizzard Entertainment. The series is set in the dark fantasy world of Sanctuary, where players take on the role of hero, battling against the forces of evil, primarily led by Diablo, the Lord of Terror. Now, the storyline of this series revolves around the eternal conflict between the high heavens and the burning hells, with Sanctuary being the battleground where this conflict plays out. Now, throughout the games, players encounter various demons, undead creatures, and other monstrous foes as they seek to stop Diablo and his minions from unleashing chaos upon the world. The gameplay typically involves exploring dungeons, completing quests, defeating enemies, and of course, collecting loot. Players can choose from different character classes, each with unique abilities and playstyles, such as the warrior-like barbarian, the spellcasting sorcerer, or the agile rogue. This particular cover was created by Francisco Ruiz Velasco. And if that name sounds familiar, you may have seen Trollhunters: Rise of the Titans on Netflix. He has also worked in concept art and in art departments for Pacific Rim, Thor Ragnarok, and Hellboy. This early work is hard to find, as variant covers were not as common in 2001 as they are today. Combining that with the popularity of the RPG franchise, collectors are grabbing these books up faster than a devil in hell. Recently, a 9.4 sold for $200.
Must be some high card big Diablo fans. I remember playing Diablo when it first came out, and it was kind of like a first-person shooter, but not necessarily a shooter, but, you know, from a first-person perspective. And then it kind of morphed throughout the years to a RPG, blah, 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 or it started as RPG. And then the newest one is crazy. The graphics look just nuts. It is, yeah.
So this game is still going?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They just came out with a new version, like, I'm going to say a year or two ago. Yeah, check out the video cuts on YouTube. They're pretty cool, man.
I wonder if somebody out there just knows, especially with all the cool video game adaptations we've been getting lately. Yeah. Maybe somebody out there knows that there's a Diablo in the works.
Dude, I could totally see this as an animated series, right? Really? Something like Castlevania or something like that, right? You know,
because Castlevania show on Netflix is so good.
It is so dope. I love that. That and Dota. You know,
tell us about it, Tivo. Is that something that maybe?
Yeah. Thank you for the lead in there.
Cheers.
So you got to check out Castlevania and also Dota Dragon's Blood, both based on video games, and they're not for the squeamish. There's a lot of violence going on. It's pretty dope. But Castlevania is really kind of and there's a new one that just came out last year. Castlevania Nocturne, I think is what it's called. It's about
I think a spinoff. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's great too. All right. What do we have for the next one? Oh shit, that's weird.
This next one here is Granada number one. This came out in 1983 from Commercial Comics. This week, we have an interesting one on our Shakers list. Since the dawn of time, humanity has utilized propaganda in one form or another to sway public opinion toward a particular political or religious ideology. Media evolved into the perfect platform to spread this viewpoint and influence to the masses, to share a common hatred of the other warring factions collectively. Creatively knows no bounds. Creativity knows no bounds. And even comic books weren't off limits to advance political agendas. Such is the case of Granada number one, a valid form of weaponized media that was dropped from the skies and blanketed the islands of Granada in 1983 to reach Americans overseas. That's what the story was meant for us to believe. Reports began to emerge that the book was written by the CIA to possibly assist in causing disunity between Caribbean nations and communist interference. Crazy cloak and dagger stuff, right? Amazingly, how one of these, actually 50 of them, made it to CGC is a mystery. And still, this week, a CGC 9.8 copy sold for a record breaking high of $400. Out of those 50 copies mentioned earlier, 7 of them are 9.8s. But this is the first one to hit our charts. Maybe all these copies didn't drop out of an airplane after all.
So there's Granada issue number one from Commercial Comics, 1983, for $400 and 9.9. I remember when this happened, and I was like, what in the who or where is Granada, right? And then it wasn't really a war. We just came in there, swooped up people, killed, you know, took over, and then left. And, you know, so, you know, it's really, you know, it's...
Wait a minute. I just want to summarize just so that I can... I think I took it all in here. What you're telling me here is, in this read, is that the CIA maybe, with the air quotes right now, wrote a comic book and then dumped it out of planes or helicopters over Granada to influence political whatever, and 50 of these books didn't make it out of the airplane, but actually ended up being graded.
I don't know if they didn't make it out of the airplane. It might have been just ones that people kept real nice for so long because they just
There's some Grenadians out there.
Well, come on, US ain't soldiers. Nothing that jumped that fell out of an airplane going to get a 9.8? Maybe. Really?
Well, I'm still shocked the CIA was dropping these out of airplanes. You know what?
I'm actually not story. Shocked. Yeah, I'm going to have to investigate this.
You got to love the history of the. That they have on the cover and then ends with rescued from rape and slavery.
I'd love to see interior on this to see what the story was.
I don't know who the artist was. What military artist did they have at the time that made this?
I know, right?
Is it any good? How's his storytelling? Who was the inker?
Probably a pen name for all of them. Crazy. Because they're CIA. They can't be telling you who it is. So it's definitely fake names, man. Come on. All right.
The cover's gnarly. That guy's getting his head blown off. The other kid's getting shot in the face.
All right. Granada issue number one. What do you have next?
Ooh, man. I have owned this book a couple of times. And you know what, folks? This is a good one. All right. At number five, we've got House of Secrets.
Do you want to address this before going on?
Lords of Brooklyn.
Yes, he does. JB is even his real name.
All right. So at number five, we've got House of Secrets, issue number 103, originally published in 1972. You know, that's the Bronze Age. Bernie Wrightson is a name that needs little introduction to anyone in the comic industry. Wrightson was a legendary artist and an inspiration for many of today's artists and creators. Wrightson began his illustration career in 1966 and actively worked in the industry for nearly 50 years until his passing in 2017. Now, since his passing, many collectors have begun to collect and seek out his covers, thus leading to many of these books increasing in both demand and aftermarket prices. An example of one of these covers is House of Secrets, issue number 103. This book has an incredible cover with the creepy and haunting image that fit the series perfectly overall. Demand for Wrightson's run on the series and this specific cover is at an all-time high, and this week's sale is proof of that. On April 23rd, a mind-blowing sale of $5,040. Damn! Was made on a CGC 9.8 graded copy. Now, this sale is considerably higher than the previous sale of a slab 9.8, which was only $525.
That's nuts.
Now, this sale will surely lead to more classic Wrightson covers being submitted for grading. And if you own any iconic covers, it could benefit to pull them out and check on those conditions.
Yeah, so House of Secrets issue number 103, 1972, $5,000. So,
are you in 2001 again? Or 2021?
What?
When prices were just stupid and everything went for dumb prices.
Well, the last 9.8 was only $525, but it doesn't say when.
Yeah, I would say during the pandemic is when people really started buying a lot online because everything was closed, you know, and you know, and they had, you know, and so, but there was an odd run on, well, not an odd run, but you know, horror, you know, House of Secrets, especially EC horror books, right? Mm-hmm. And then now, you know, I was like, I'm gonna get some of these. Wait, back then I never took. Now they're all like, any EC horror book is valuable. You know what I mean? Because if especially in high grade, because it lasted through like SOTY and all this other stuff, and you know, book burnings and all that stuff. So yeah. All right, this has been an awful list for you guys. I'm sorry, man. I really apologize, but it may continue.
Oh, good luck.
All right, so next up, number six, is Mystical Griffil.
Very well done. I was like, how do you say that? Mystical Griffil, all right.
Yeah. Number two, this is a Dave Stevens book from A&W, not the root beer, but the publishers, of 1975. Featuring a stunning black and white illustration cover by Dave Stevens, Mystical Griffil, number two, holds special significance as one of his earliest published works. Stevens began his illustrious career with projects like this fanzine, showcasing his talent and creativity even in his formative years. The recent sale of a raw, ungraded copy for $326 marks a new all-time high. The closest previous sale was a CGC 9.2 that sold for $300 in 2019. For collectors eager to explore Dave Stevens's early works, his official website does provide a checklist of all of his creations. As interest in Stevens' art continues to grow, this fanzine offers a unique opportunity to own a piece of comic history and witness the evolution of a legendary artist. With his exquisite cover art, status as one of Dave Stevens' earliest works, and scarcity in the market, this fanzine embodies the allure of vintage comics and serves as a testament to the enduring legacy of its creator. As interest in Dave Stevens' works persists, the value of Mystical Griffil number two is poised to soar even higher.
Yes, well done, Brian Wells, for getting Mystical Griffil.
No, he He missed it.
Oh, he missed it.
Someone nearly minutes right before he could get it.
Oh, that sucks, man. Yeah, this, if you were to tell me this is a Dave Stevens cover, I wouldn't believe you. I mean, it doesn't, you know, yeah, but then again, right? Dave Stevens is a great artist who's reinvented himself for certain genres. You know what I mean? So, you know, because you really found out more about the guy when, you know, when you watch his documentary. That's right, boys and girls. There's a documentary, I think, on Amazon Prime about Dave Stevens' life. It's right up there with Michael Turner's documentary as well. Oh, yeah. Is good as well. Speaking of Michael Turner, boom, you're getting multiple things. So did you guys know there was a Witchblade anime series?
No.
Yeah,
it's on Crunchyroll, I do believe, and it's not quite the same as the actual Witchblade comic, but still pretty cool nonetheless, man. If you get a chance, if you have Crunchyroll, you know, check it out. I think it's on Crunchyroll. It's streaming somewhere,
though. I know it's on Hulu for sure. It's a lot more fun. Maybe on Hulu, It's way more fun and sexy than the live action series was. That was on like TNT or USA or something.
No, back then I think it was just TBS.
Might have been TBS. Yeah, that's right. Channel 10.
And yeah, I mean, that was a time where like, yeah. And I was like, oh, no. Did it even last a season? I don't even think
I think finished. Two. Oh, no, I think they did like a TV movie and then like a season or something, maybe two.
Which made it something they need to bring back. You know what I mean? If not,
they are
animated form and in live action. Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are they bringing it? What?
Well, the comic book is coming back, yes.
But no, I meant like an animated movie or a live action series or something like that. Because now there's the technology to do it. Back then when they did the TV show, it was just like, it was cursed to begin with because it was on cable TV. Now cable TV is like, this is a golden era of cable TV, right? So there you go.
I don't even know what cable TV is anymore. It's all apps.
It's all apps.
It's good, which means you can watch pretty much anything. All the things that I noticed, just talk to Alexa or whomever you're talking to. Alexa, play Lords of the Long Box podcast on Spotify. Shameless plug. You just on what's that called? Fucking Fire TV. You just push the button and you just say, Alexa, play me blah 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 blah, and it'll find it. And if it's not free, it'll charge you. I mean, I've never seen anything more than like $20 for a brand new movie. And then sometimes click on, do yourself a favor though, when it does find it, say more purchase options, and you may find a cheaper or free version if they're charging you. So that's a little tip from Uncle Tivo for you there, who watches way too much TV. All right, what do you got up next?
Stevens.
All right.
Well, you know, at number 7, by the way, shout out to the 89 Strong and Alive chat. If you are not subscribed to the channel already, please do consider hitting that subscription button and hitting the bell so you don't miss our next video. At number 7, we've got Rocketeer Adventures, issue number 1, the 1 in 25 Dave Stevens sketch variant, originally published in 2011. Now, over the past year, Dave Stevens' work has seen a huge resurgence in the comic community. We've covered no less than 10 different Stevens covers, including the last book, that have seen aftermarket interest and increases. Collectors are continuing to seek out other pieces of Stevens' work that has yet to gain the notoriety that some of the other covers have or are extremely difficult to find. This leads us to this 1 and 25 sketch cover for Rocketeer Adventures issue number 1. This is a book that we covered back in June of 2023. But here, this week, we saw a new all-time high sale of $499 for a CGC 9.8 graded copy. The last sale for this book was $255 as a raw copy last year, and none have been listed or sold since.
This is a book you should keep your eye out as it does not pop up often.
Yeah, I mean, who's doing a one in twice sketch variant back in 2011 for The Rocketeer, right? But there's some great, I mean, you think about Rocketeer or Airboy, there's some great, great, I think Dave Stevens even did a 3D comic at one point, and I think I bought it. Because I was on a Dave Stevens kick a couple of years ago, and thankfully I did buy them when I did, because now that everybody's, you know, they're really high priced, as they should be. I mean, he's a great artist. So,
Luke Holly's right. But it's been sell your Dave Stevens book for the last year.
Yeah. What's the link to that you put in there, Gabe?
That's the Dave Stevens documentary you're talking about.
Ah, there you go. See, Dave, not only tell you, but we link you right to it, man. Damn. All right. What do we have next?
All right, number eight. This is a fun one. I love Sonic. Sonic the Hedgehog Sonic, number two. Sonic.
Or was it Sega? Yeah.
So this is Sonic the Hedgehog number 29, the 4-drain 1 in 10 variant. Came out May 13th of 2020 from IDW. Everyone loves a good origin story. Natalie 4-drain started her career by posting her fan art in a Sonic the Hedgehog fan forum. Editors Joe Hughes from IDW contacted her and asked if she would like to do a few covers for the Sonic comic book series, to which, of course, she said yes. 5 years later, 4-drain Sonic covers are highly sought after, and her career has expanded to include concept art and illustration. Many of her earliest works were incentive-locked, meaning that retailers needed to order over a certain amount of the comics to get the variant. Sonic collectors are scurrying the market for 4-drain's work faster than Sonic and crew can collect Chaos Emeralds. The small print run and ratio variant make this book hard to find. Recently, a near-mint ungraded copy went for $305.
Yeah, so this is just the first comic art of 4-drain? Is that is what I'm hearing?
I don't know if it's a if it's her first, but it's one of. If anything.
But what's cool is how they plucked her out from doing fan art and said, hey, you want to do a couple of covers? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's pretty cool, man. That's like the dream come true, right? For anybody who is a comic book writer or artist or, you know, video game person. I'm pretty sure she was just she was probably both, to be honest with you. All right. What do we have next? Ooh, I think here's your chance. We've had this on the show before.
All right, well, this is the final read of the night for me. Thanks for having me on tonight's show. You know what? I just got this strange... I got a message. Did you get the message?
What message?
You got the message. Was Laura said that she's auto? Here in spirit.
Come to me. I've been waiting.
Oh, my God.
We're clipping that.
No, we're not.
I'll do you one right. Better.
Hey guys, it's Lou here, your out of shape comic book collector, and I'm welcoming you to another episode of What to Put in Your Box.
Oh man, you're not gonna believe this, dude. Your book came back a 9.8.
A 9.8 karate kick! Hey guys, it's Comic Lou here. And this is another episode of our Top 10, where the comics we talk about, ironically, are on my eBay store. And I'm here, joined by the comic sensei from Alaska himself, Kevin.
What's up, guys? We got our Top 10 books. This is on our Top 10 here. It's Peach Momoko.
Peach Momoko!
Want to take a look?
I love Peach Momoko. I love.
Dude, it's my book. Dude, stop! It's my book! Dude, stop! It's my book.
Speaking of Peach Momoko, at number 9, we've got Vamps versus Wolves, issue number 4, the Peach Momoko variant, originally published in 2019. Now, don't sleep on this one, folks. Don't you dare sleep on this one. Scott Blair started his career working on cover art for various wrestling DVDs and promotional artwork for MMA and UFC fighters Chuck Liddell
and Randy Couture. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
In 2007, he pivoted to create modern pinup art after completing a Betty Page-inspired photo shoot. Now, in 2016, he launched a Kickstarter for Vamps vs. Wolves, which was a grindhouse story about a vampire girl gang battling werewolf bikers. He recently had a lengthy battle with cancer and passed away on April 5th. Our condolences. We last discussed the Peach Momoko variant of issue number 4 in December, as it was limited to 100 copies and may be the rarest Momoko variant to date. In December, a graded 9.8 was sold for $555, which was surpassed on April 24th by a sale of $710. Blair will always be known for his pinup style sketches and foot fetish, but will also always be linked to Momoko through this ultra rare Kickstarter collaboration.
Yeah, so Vamps vs. Wolves, Peach Momoko variant. I mean, this, we've seen this before. Obviously, everybody's trying to find the earliest Peach Momokos they can. Yo, there's some hate in the live chat, man. They did not like that video of our friends at Aegis Comics of Alaska, man.
Whoa, what's up with that?
He said, Jason says the clip is too long and not even funny to keep.
Well, running. I cut it right after the first section. I cut it after the Momoko. Yeah, cut out.
Jason, I think you should play it again.
For you. As a matter of fact, Jason, I did that just for you.
And then Jeff B says, not sure that video one ups Laura's clip. Well, that is true. I mean, that's pretty hard to one up.
Well, that's Laura, true. Man. You're not going to one up Laura.
But dang, man, yeah, I gotta give respect to our friends at Aegis Comics in Alaska, man. They, you know, I miss them, because when the comic shop was open, they used to do hilarious videos and parodies. So, you know, they're doing good now. You know, they're all doing their own thing in their personal lives. But you know, they did a they were a breath of fresh air to the comic book community. I should say that when they came on YouTube or. In, you know, whatever video they were doing, it was hilarious though, man. All right, and
by the way, since that was my last drop of the night, and this was a 9.8, and I think the best drop tonight was. It's still funny.
This show may hold the records for the most like video little interludes ever that we've done. All right. Vamps vs. Wolves number 4, Peach Momoko. What do we have for number 1? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, this is pretty rad. So last one of the night is War for Planet of the Apes, number 1, the Final Order Cutoff variant from Boom Studios, 2017. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is upon us, and this franchise, once relegated to the junk pile, is back in full swing. It saw a major resurgence with the release of Rise of the Planet of the Apes in 2011, but hasn't slowed down since. However, the focus is on this book, which debuted after Dawn, but before the film it shares a title with. It features a separate story bridging the gap between films like these books often do. What makes this book special is its rarity. It was a Final Order unlocked variant, which means it was available during the Final Order cutoff and was unlocked when a retailer hit a certain ordering threshold, i.e. order 100 of cover A. This book is unlocked and then available to be ordered. This series had hype behind it, but many retailers balked at ordering more than the bare minimum of copies to satisfy their customers. Thus, we've had a severely limited and underrated variant. This book also shares a cover with the omnibus for the series, where many readers were introduced to it. With the new movie out, many fans opt to revisit the series and pick up any meaningful keys they may have missed, including this book. Recently, a near mint raw copy hit the market and sold for $85. Impressive when a month prior it had topped out at $15. when it did come up for sale, it often went for sub $10 raw. We currently have no graded sales in our database, and there are only two graded copies on the census, both in a 9.8. Talk about a rare book for fans of the series to keep their eyes peeled for.
Yeah, so War of the Planet of the Apes number one for $85. That's it. I mean, if you think about it, there are, I don't know, more than any other franchise, Planet of the Apes has the most movies by far, I think, if you think about it.
How many are they compared to like Nightmare on Elm Street?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about first one,
Friday the 13th? Come on, man.
Yeah, the first one is the Oscar worthy, you know, with Charlton Heston.
Oh, the first one's a piece of amazing cinema.
The second one, not so much. And then there was a third one where there was like some weird military thing, kind of like the second new movie that had come out, right? And then it was done again, I think, with Mark Wahlberg, where at the end of the movie he crashes into like the Washington Monument or the Lincoln's Memorial, and it's a gorilla instead of a human there. I do believe it was Mark Wahlberg, but it was a weird movie.
That's correct.
Yeah, it was a weird movie, you know. But the new ones are just excellent. They're just excellent, just excellent, excellent. Very well done. You get to see the actual origin story, right? The first one's kind of sad with you know what they did to him with Caesar and everything, and then the second one, and then this third one is going back to the original films where the humans were slaves, or I think you know they weren't necessarily slaves, they're you know fighting the planet. Woody Harrelson was in one of the new ones for Christ's sake. All right, so make sure you guys leave a comment in the live chat, because we're gonna do a seamless transition to see what's shaking on today's Shakers.
Seamless transition.
Shake it up. Is
the Shakers high list. Production value that you get right here only on the Lord.
Boom.
Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. So this is the highlights of C2E2. That's probably something you should peruse.
We should be getting into that.
These are trending. First appearance of Clea. That's interesting. All right. I dig it. Matter of fact, I was just watching Doctor Strange into the Multiverse of Madness. I could watch that over and over, man. But we'll just see what's shaking, boys and girls.
What? Michael Baker has a question here that we need to pose. You know why, Michael? I mean, these guys are probably writing these, you know, a couple of days in advance. So maybe we'll catch this Spawn book in the next one.
Yeah, maybe. I meant maybe.
It's because I think the list ends on Sunday, right? They go from Monday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but maybe the live list that we're looking at right now is literally updating.
Oh, this list. Every day. I thought they were talking about the Shaker list.
Oh, I know the one that we get to read, but I'm just saying that.
Hey, go to that our Army at War, man. That's a really tough, expensive book to find.
25. Damn, 22.
That's the first appearance of Sergeant Rock.
In a 2.5.
What is Sergeant Rock? This thing is super first expensive.
Appearance of Sergeant Rock and first Joe Kubert Sergeant Rock. Huh?
Wow. I need to see the cover again. Wow.
It's bad. This is I mean everybody was going, like we're talking about, people were hitting up and grabbing like all those horror like EC books. Don't overlook these awesome war comics. These war comics are so cool. Especially when you get like some Joe Kubert artwork in there, you're hitting gold.
Yeah, or Ooh, Ghost Tank.
Talking about this today in the barber chair. He was like, I got a bunch of old war comics. I said, dude, don't sleep on it. Check the cover for Joe Kubert.
Just bought them all and just said, hey, I'll give you this amount of money, man. Don't miss Tiger Girl, Fight Comics, Señorita Rio, In the Graveyard in the Sky. Wow. From 1945. Raw, no grade, $241. A 7.0 for $3,000. Dude, that lasted through 1945. That's a long time. Almost as long as this show. look at this one. This is fun. Shocking Mystery. Ooh, yeah. Murderer's Reward, 1952. So this is right before Sodi. But yeah, Shocking Mysteries cases always has some probably crazy covers. Shall we look at them?
Let's do it.
Let's check them out, man. That's the beauty of this. By the way, folks, we got 84 strong in here, and I know we're going to have a great rewind. But if you're not subscribed to Cover Price, you got to check out this application, literally for less than the price of a McRib. Shot, bingo card shot.
Some crazy-ass covers, man. We got
all this data.
We got dinosaurs and racehorses, and it looks like a demon pirate behind them. What the hell? The long shot of evil. Okay, I dig it, man. I have to find them.
Colors are popping off of that.
You got to check out that Super World. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
We love our space comics here.
From 1940, boys and girls. 1940. Super World Comics. Blasting my man into outer space there, I think. Looks more
they
like
got rocket packs on. He's got a little rock.
I like the names of the characters: Mighty Powers, Hypnox, Buzz Allen.
Buzz Allen. Oh, I see. Marvel, Buzz Allen.
One, two, go.
Like Buzz the astronaut, or this is way before
that. No, this is way before Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah, I was going to say
Buzz Aldrin is probably reading this book. Oh, look at my name.
A 1.0 for 1250. 1.0, mind you, for 1250. Invincible. What's Linebreakers? This is the Last Ronin. We know the Last Ronin's coming, so that's no shock. Black First Black Panther, huh? I wonder First if there's I wonder if somebody knows something. I still have this for Prince Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I still got mine too. Nice.
I'm sad I sold this run, the Starlin run on Captain Marvel, like 25 through 34 or something like that. Yeah, that one
dropping hurt. The knowledge, TiVo. Yeah. Come on.
I have this issue. I still have this book. I love this comic.
So fun fact, I mean, he used to be blue. Right? Okay. And I believe something happened where he touched the cosmic cube and then he turned green or some shit like that. But it was funny how characters, you know, change. Obviously, like famously, the Hulk was gray because it was cheaper to do a gray Hulk than a green Hulk, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, and then go full circle, there's a gray Hulk in you know, modern comics, you know. Now it's a red Hulk. You know, who knows what other Hulks are out there? Oh, Gabe and I both.
Yeah. Gabe, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Look at that. Wizard up here again.
Oh, this is the San Diego Comic-Con version, though. Do you have this one?
I don't have that one. That's
oh, yeah. I have number one. I don't have the San Diego Comic-Con edition. Look at that. 710
and 9.8. Yeah, these ones were the first ones out. They were handing them out at San Diego.
Bro, 9.8
for 7,500. June of 92 is my earliest.
7,500 for 9.8.
That's
June and
it's a piece of comic book history, whether you like Wizard or not. That would they really influence and guided my comic book experiences and anybody else during the '90s.
Oh yeah, definitely. Wizard magazine was basically art. Was basically the top 10 show.
Yeah,
because you know, well,
that was the top 10.
Yeah, before there was the internet and apps and Instagram and influencers and, you know. It's
before there was even a top 10, there was the Wizard top 10. And they even had a little price guide in there. Remember that?
Yeah, they had price guides. I mean, they even spun out and did like
interviews and everything. I mean, God, I mean, somebody needs to bring Wizard back. I mean, I think they blew their wad with Wizard World, you know, because there's no Wizard World, that's for sure.
Yeah, just the internet. You know, who you know, nobody buys magazines anymore.
Yeah. 31,000 first appearance of The Watcher. Oh man. If you haven't seen The Watcher and What If, he is badass.
First appearance of Red
Ghost. Holy moly. How much again?
7,500. Damn. I think let me see, yeah. Yep. No. 31,000. I'm tripping. Damn.
Yeah. For a 9.6 though, 9.6 Silver Age book. Come on.
Pay that man his money.
I love like that. I just got to get it in every show.
I actually got this from a an antique kind of outdoor thing swap meet, and there was only one old man there who was selling comic books, right? And he was trying to push all this stuff on me. And I go, oh, I like that Fantastic Four. He goes, no, that's not worth anything. He didn't know it was the first appearance of The Watcher. But, you know, I gave him, you know, enough money. And then and I turned the first page and it was signed by Stan Lee.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah. So first Uncanny Mark Jewelers.
Did you keep your Stanley Assign stuff? Do you have any?
No. I sold it. Yeah, I sold it, unfortunately. X-Men 221, the Mark Jewelers, first appearance of Mr. Sinister. We were just debating this 675.
Ask Jen. Put it to the chat. Let's get a question. Hey, chat. We were in the green room. We were talking about next week's show is obviously going to have, if you're watching X-Men 97, next week's show is going to have first appearance of Bastion. But what is the first appearance of freaking Bastion, man? I think it's up for debate.
So it's 333 is the first full appearance, and Uncanny X-Men 333 is his first full appearance, and X-Men 52 is a cameo.
So 333 is the one you want.
I don't know.
I guess it depends what kind of collector you are, right? Because there's still always that debate of cameo versus first full.
Let the debate rage on.
Come on, Chad. Let me know. What do you guys think?
So this is cool. Oh, I dig the silhouette of Spider-Man in her body, on her suit. First appearance of Silk Cindy Moon. I don't know if that's ever getting it made after the disastrous Madam Web. Oh. I haven't even watched it yet. I mean, when it's free,
you know, maybe I feel I'll... so bad. I told you that movie wasn't made for you. It was made for my daughter, and she hated it.
Yeah, I mean, even Sydney Sweeney or what's her name? Dakota Fanning. What's her name? Dakota something.
Yeah, Dakota. Yeah.
Even she wasn't even like hyping the show up. You know what I mean? They kind of knew what was going on. They were like, we don't know. Well,
they signed on to a different movie, and then they changed the script. So it just.
Yeah.
Was a disaster.
Yeah, so if Kraven doesn't do well, man, I don't know what Sony's gonna do is gonna do. They're gonna have to partner more with Marvel as opposed to doing their one-offs like, you know, they did. Even the Morbius. Venom movie, yeah, Morbius was but the Venom movie was okay. But the lack of Spider-Man kind of like, you know, it's like you can't have Venom without the Spider-Man, right? I mean, so just like when, you know, Venom makes an appearance at the end credits scene of...
Dakota Johnson. Fanning was a little girl with Denzel Washington and Man of Fire.
She ain't a little girl no more, man.
Baker dropping the knowledge.
She's a grown-ass woman now. She's like 25, 26.
Jason says Hulk winning one is solid evidence that cameos don't count.
Whoa, yeah, that's true.
And he also says Kraven will tank,
but what's funny though is that's on Marvel books. If you look at DC books, the cameos are more expensive than first fulls,
In DC,
yeah.
This is still a holy grail of mine,
I was gonna say TiVo's grail,
But I do believe I am priced out now. Vampirella issue number one from Warren Comics. I think I saw this. You know, Gabe, where I seen this? No, I didn't see it there. I also bought it. I went to your old stomping grounds of Torpedo Comics at the Irvine Spectrum.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and it was very, it was very clean. I'm sorry. They had a copy of the first, was it Savage Tales of Conan, issue number one, the first appearance of Man-Thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had that in the slab, and I was like, and I said, well, let's go, honey, and because we just got back from somewhere, and I looked it up on cover price, and sure enough, I meant they weren't too far off, which is
that's good to hear.
Yeah, which is I can't always say that it is true about Torpedo Comics,
about a lot of places, but yeah,
I mean, the orange store is just it needs a total rehaul. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I've been there, and it's just like unimpressive. No Spider-Man, the Spectrum one is the Irvine Spectrum one is pretty nice though, because I expected it to be like super expensive because, you know, the Irvine Spectrum, you know, obviously rent there is a lot higher than in Orange. But you surprised? The Orange Circle where the, you know, is a lot of pricey antiques place, but not really, because there's still a Navy surplus store there or some shit like that. It's crazy, man.
You know, Tim, since we want to give everybody a chance, I can't believe it. We get like 90 strong in the live and we can't not get more than 35 comments.
If you don't play, you can't. If you don't pay, you can't win. You know?
So Since my man got skipped at the beginning, we're going to give you 58 seconds to get in on this.
The baddest on the microphone apparatus is here. When I rock a rhyme, often eyes are dropping a tear. It's so beautiful, it's America's landscapes when this man makes lyrics like the syrups that you pour upon your pancakes. My mandate is to grip minds like a handshake. Spit Orlando Lakes and go skinny dip with the fan base. Over any damn breakbeat, I hastily make pastries tastier than anything that Wolfgang makes. So take notes out of suckers, I make coats, lump of sum like Bubba Gump fishing on lake boats. I take jokes and turn the comedy into drama. I'm bagging on your mama, I'm Jeffrey Dahmer behind ya. I'm a rhyme writer, lock stock, smoking the ganja. Rebuttals befuddle, leaving a puddle of saliva, sillies. You couldn't handle Randall when I throw my grammar at you. It hit your head and you would think I threw a hammer at you. I point the camera at you like Herb Ritz. Develop it, then use the pictures to pick up bird shits. You're nervous is the impervious wordsmiths. Hanging out in Rafa's new crib, come with the verses. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn, Michael Baker says Randall Park saves the show. Wow, are we that bad? Damn, man.
All right. Let's go.
Thank you, Randall Park.
More than 35 comments again. We'll go ahead and run the math. And we got 11.
So you know we're.
I'm going to refresh this because I feel like
we're simulcast through YouTube, obviously Facebook and Twitter. So I wonder if it pulls those comments as well.
No, it's just the YouTube comment picker.
Yeah, sorry guys. So you know, enjoy it's you guys YouTube. Watching. But after you watch this live on
42, yeah, look at that.
After you watch this live on Twitter or Facebook, you know, you can go to YouTube and leave a comment and be able to win for next week. You know, so there you go.
You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Drum roll.
Good luck, suckers. CGC fan 562. What is your
and you know what, this is great, this is perfect, because CGC fan 862 basically had the only diss comment of all of the comments. They were all positive. And then we had our friend right here who's going to get some free books from TiVo. I don't know if they're ever going to show up. CGC fan 862, what is your regular broadcast schedule? Every 2 weeks? What is the problem not doing every week? Well, funny, yeah. You should mention that, CGC fan 862. People have lives, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, Laura's.
Everybody in this panel has a life.
And I'm hanging on by a thread
for the show.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I just get the notes too early and everybody's busy. And I'm like, you know what? We'll just skip today's show. It's fine. And then, you know what? I'm actually relieved I can just sit back and relax. I don't have to prep for the show because I'm not. It doesn't look like it, but there's some prep for the show to be done. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Frank. Right.
There's a lot of time and effort put into it.
Hold on. Frank's here. Welcome to the show, Frank. Appreciate you.
Word. JB, any last words?
I don't know, man. I don't should I have any last words? No, thanks for showing up, everybody. We really do appreciate you. If you're watching on the rewind, please subscribe to the channel. And next Tuesday, we've got our top 10 list, and we will be back next Thursday for the Shakers list. Maybe you'll get one. I was 0 for 10 again.
Yeah, so Gabe, any last words? Where can I find you?
You guys can find me on my YouTube channel, Omni Bros Live, which is a comic book collecting show about omnibuses and collected editions. Other than that, I'm happy to be here again. You know, thanks for the invite, Tim.
Thank Molly you Riddell. For filling in for Miss Laura, who couldn't be here, but these books are in her honor. These are Bird City Comics exclusives that went to the winner tonight. You get a little, Joe Mad. I think is this an homage? I think this is an homage.
Who's the artist?
Well, one of them is definitely Joe Mad, but the other one is I always forget the artist's name.
It's David Nakayama, and the other one was Ariel
Prieto.
I can't think of her last name.
Yeah, Prieto, something like that.
Maybe.
Anyway,
but that's the Joe Mad homage that I helped Bird City come up with.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great cover, man. Great cover. I hope that animated series gets done sooner or later because it was option at one point, but they never did. So, but now is the perfect time for it, especially with, you know, more, you know, violent or risque animated series coming out on multiple platforms. Not, you know, we were just talking about this off the air. I was watching Crunchyroll, you know, and yo, man, you go down some weird shit down on Crunchyroll, man. It's just weird. It is weird. All right, Jay, speaking of weird, JB, any last words?
Don't forget, everyone, we had a good time.
Did we, though? There were some people complaining in the live chat, so we
maybe that's how you win the giveaway. You have to
put a good time, so fuck.
That's all. He's like, fuck them. All right, boys and girls, we'll see you Tuesday for the cover price top 10 of the list. For JB, Gabe, Marty, Miss Laura, and Matt Damon, who couldn't make it. Keep digging in them long boxes and peace out.
Legends of the universe. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Now that's a name I've not heard.
Know that the Lord is up there.
Shake and bake and pull it back.
In this, you shall know that the Lord is up there. In this, you shall know that the Lord is up there.
Go on and get some, boy.
What the heck is the deal? I'm the best there is.
In this, you shall know that the Lord is
up there.
What's in the box?